Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Just before I get started here, isn't this an awesome guy we got? I continue to thank God daily for Matthew and for his love for the church that came so quickly, I think, from the minute that they said, Blessed Savior Lutheran Church, along with his name, I knew that this was going to be a good match. And I'm so thankful. He's got such a good, strong voice. He's musical, and he's got every characteristic that I like. I'd hope you like him the same. To be a disciple of Jesus means to sit at the feet of our Lord and learn from him the mysteries of godliness. When Jesus relates the parable of the farmer planting the seeds, he tells the listeners right at the onset that the events of the story may be compared to the kingdom of heaven. This tip from the teacher may prompt them to listen carefully as Jesus provides his explanation. But even this information is not enough for these bewildered disciples who wait until the crowd leaves before they approach their beloved teacher to ask for extra help. They confess their need. Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. Such willingness to ask for help. A good first step to learning is realizing just how much we have to learn or how much we don't know. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. The disciples recognized their need and wanted to learn. They turned to their teacher for explanation and illumination. Their hearts were opened, and they were ready to receive the wisdom from Jesus. When Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like, don't your ears just perk up a little bit? Is there in your spirit a tinge of anticipation that what you're about to hear has application for this life as well as the next? The disciples thought so. Because I've always been an inquisitive person about spiritual things, even as a kid, I'm always stunned when I'm in conversation with someone who pretends to know everything. Or that everything in their lives is just fine, thank you very much. We face those people. Don't get me wrong, there's plenty of times when I'm not ready to listen to the Master. But I wonder what would happen in our lives if we had the vulnerability to say with the disciples of Jesus, I need some help. I'm not able to do this on my own. Well, chances are someone, or as you know, someone's will come to your rescue and offer support and guidance. So here's the introductory and first important point. Life isn't meant to be a test that we struggle through without help. Sin has so profoundly affected any rational thinking or acting that I'm sure you have experienced those moments when you just don't know what to do. And when our spirit tells us we need help in this world of confusion, in this world so complex and so convoluted, in this world that thinks it can figure out things on its own without the aid of divine assistance, well, then you tell me. How are things going in your part of the world? Do you see the issues of life on this upward trend toward improvement? With all the advancements of technology, we have learned to solve the issues that have plagued humanity for millennia, right? Not exactly. My friends, God has always been there for us since the beginning of time, instructing us through the law and through the prophets, pointing us to the Savior. And then when Jesus came into the world, He was there for anyone who would listen so that He could give them insight and instruction. But there have been, as you know, so many who had ears but could not hear. They wouldn't listen. But Jesus, like a patient teacher, waits till the need arises and then provides His disciples with the encouragement and wisdom that will help them as they endeavor to follow and serve Him. When it seems like the disciples or us are in the midst of a life test, if we're open to Jesus' instruction, He supplies us with the answers we need to be faithful and effective. You know, it's so much easier to be the one who offers help than the one who receives it. You agree? There are times, however, when we need to follow the disciples' lead and ask God for assistance. Jesus encourages this attitude of seeking for wisdom by reminding them, let anyone who has ears listen. Listen. Jesus always wants to teach us. We have to be ready to learn. Are we ready? Let's sneak into the crowd as Jesus seeks to teach His disciples today on a very important issue, an issue that impacts us still today. Jesus begins by informing His followers of the very real dangers that exist in the world. In His parable, the farmer does everything right. He plants the good seeds and faithfully tends the fields. Yet despite his diligence, an enemy appears and spreads weeds throughout the crop. The story should remind us that despite our good intentions and best efforts, there can be setbacks and obstacles that threaten to ruin even the best of our plans. Simply hearing Jesus acknowledge that there are times when things go wrong can actually be reassuring. We often place a heavy burden on ourselves by imagining that our actions and our faith completely control all the events of our lives. Sometimes we want to believe that our faith should protect us from everything, every misfortune. The truth is, there are other factors at work in this world. Sometimes these misfortunes are the result of evil intentions. Sometimes bad things happen. So here's another old saying that we should keep in mind. Forewarned is forearmed. If you are prepared to meet the challenge, you'll be much more ready to act. Jesus' warning that we should anticipate challenges and interference along our journey, I think, is very helpful. Jesus states clearly that things go wrong and that events don't always go in our favor. But the best laid plans and the most good-hearted intentions can be foiled through no fault of our own. Sometimes we can point to a concrete cause. Other times we might be baffled how circumstances have seemingly lined up against us. In any case, and this is so important for us to consider and reconsider, we can be reassured that a string of unfortunate events in our lives does not indicate that we are separated from the love of God. How important is that for us to hear? Misfortune and great need are not outside the realm of God's concern. God is even in, and maybe especially in, those scary, challenging places where we need Him the most. Jesus offers assurance that we should not lose heart. Let's continue. The natural impulse of the householder's servants is to go into the field and immediately remove the threat. They want to gather up the weeds and destroy them. And so they're kind of surprised when the master cautions them not to be so hasty. He warns them that they might destroy good plants while rooting up the dangerous weeds. The plants, he explains, can look very similar when they're young. And the servants must wait until the plants mature and reveal their true characteristics. Here's the point. Jesus seems to be encouraging us, as well as his disciples, to be very careful making judgments about others. It may be difficult, he teaches, to discern which is a weed and which is a good and healthy, valuable plant. We certainly wouldn't want to toss out the precious crops. It is better to allow them both to grow. The farmer will make the judgment at a latter time. This parable, I believe, can remind us of the importance of offering grace and mercy to one another. It's not our job to judge each other. We can wait and allow God to do that. The person who might, to our critical eyes, seem to be of little value may in fact be someone who is loving and serving God the only way they know how. Instead of ignoring or disdaining someone, we need to care for all God's people. And we might just be surprised at who turns out to be of great value. Jesus was warning his disciples not to be too eager to start weeding. In the process of trying to rid themselves of the weak link, they might hurt those who are trying to love and to serve the Lord. Got your ears on? If the desire to be critical of others is something you deal with, remember another time Jesus found a great way to illustrate this point when he said, "Remove the plank from your own eye before you try to remove the splinter from another's." Most of you are familiar with a little bit of Haven. It's a ministry that we have supported. Maybe you've heard how it started with Candace Gagels, Pastor Randy's daughter, and how she had a newborn son who was immediately in need of heart surgery. Starting a ministry when your son is having heart surgery doesn't seem like the best time. But that's exactly what she did. I have the utmost respect for Candace because she has the heart of a true disciple of Jesus. And what I mean by that is that she recognizes her own vulnerabilities and weaknesses and limitations, so that when the Lord has a teachable moment for her, she is so ready to listen. I had the opportunity to talk to her the other day, and this kind of illustrates the point. She told me that she came to the end of a really exhausting day. But it wasn't quite over. She wanted to go home, put her feet up, and just get some rest. But her oldest child was working at the Rock with a group of teens from Texas. It was about 9 o'clock. She had to drive in from West County into the city to pick up her son. And she's thinking to herself on the way, well, I'll just pull up to the curb, text him, get out here, I'm ready to go, and be on their way. And almost as soon as the thought went through her mind, she thought, boy, that's pretty rude. So she decided that she was going to go inside the building, find him, and then give him that kind of let's go sign, you know, that we parents know how to do so well, that he would come and they could make their exit and she wouldn't seem to be so rude. Well, she went into the building. And she went into the room that I'll just call the sanctuary because all the kids were there seated in a circle. They do that at the end of every day to worship God and to sit at the feet of the Master Jesus and encourage one another. And as she entered this sanctuary, she immediately noticed there was one open seat. The Lord was talking to her. But she was so wearied from the day. And maybe she thought to herself, somebody slipped out to go to the bathroom. I certainly don't want to take their seat. She could give her signal and go. No one came back. She sat down. The worship continued, she told me. And in 2 minutes, she said, I was in tears. God was with his people. And she was so tired and worn out from the day, her flesh was saying, let's get out of here. But God was saying to her, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. And she stayed and she said, you know what? And this happens every time to me, even after an exhausting day. I was totally refreshed. God was teaching, and she was ready to hear his instruction. After our conversation, I wondered if I had the kind of receptiveness to the Lord's instruction, or was I just too content to go through life on my own? Were there other times and other issues about which the Lord wanted to instruct me, but I was too tired, too stressed, or too proud to listen, really listen? God knows. God knows. I want our sanctuary and our fellowship to be filled with disciples who are ready to sit at the Master's feet and learn from him. Those precious feet pierced by the nails of our neglect and negativity should remind us of his willingness to teach us the principles of living under his reign and his rule. How many times have I, how many times have you refused to sit beside those loving feet to learn the mysteries of godliness? There is so much the Lord wants to teach us. So here's the take home. If you remember nothing else about this message, trust the Master. Trust the teacher. Jesus knows that an unlikely group of people like the disciples, like us, can come together, united by their faith in God. Together, those followers can shine like the sun and spread God's hope and grace near and far. We just have to be ready to sit and listen. Amen.